We are live and direct, coming to you from X-Ray FM, as we do every Thursday morning. Good morning.
Morning.
To the news of my fiance.
What up, though?
What up, fiancés?
Hi, fiancés.
Yam sham.
Happy Thursday.
It is a Thursday. It is happy.
Is it?
Well,
I'm happy to be here with you.
Yes, and I'm happy I didn't oversleep. I don't want to speak for the both of us. You're pretty good.
Oh, wow. I thought you were putting me out there like I overslept. I was like, dang.
No, I mean, we had a late night.
It was a late night.
Preparing the news.
Late nights, early morning. Grind culture, baby.
Okay. All right, slow down.
You know? Sleep is the cousin of death.
Okay. All right.
Bang, bang.
Okay. No, I don't know how many lyrics we need this morning. I don't know how many bars. I can do a bunch. Oh, yeah, I know.
Okay.
I'm fully aware.
That sounds like hatred to me, but we could just move forward. You know? Dude, that's fine.
Yeah, no. It's totally fine. It's totally fine. Yeah.
I'm just saying, if you don't stay up late and you don't get up early, are you alive?
The answer is...
How else are you going to get a Bugatti?
Oh, okay. Slow down. Okay. Is that what we're doing?
I was just...
Because I will go all...
Please don't. Take it. Never mind. I was doing an Andrew Tate joke. I do not in any way want to talk about Batman right now.
I will go full Wayne Enterprises.
We do not need to talk about Bruce Wayne,
okay.
His enterprises, his parents, his dad, mom, none of the things.
Okay. All right.
Alfred is not here.
But isn't
no
he?
Nightwing. No. Slow down, man. Joke about someone with no chin. We don't need to talk about
wow.
The rest of those things. That was rude of me. Hit the dump button.
Morning, y'all. Morning. Well, yesterday, I put a little promo out about this morning's show. And got some of the people talking. Got a little curious.
I'm one of the people.
Are you?
Yeah, because okay. You put my name on there.
Well, I did.
And I want to say thank you, Ambush, for friends, fiancés. If you missed the promo, Ambush was basically like, you know who is a national treasure? George Santos.
One George Santos.
George Anthony DeVolder Santos.
And excuse me.
Katara. I don't remember.
I think I did say an international treasure.
As a matter of fact, you
primarily
did.
Primarily because of that.
Yeah.
You know?
As you did.
He's known by many names throughout the world.
A man of mystery.
Not a man of mystery, if you will.
A 008.
You said 008?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 00 piece of crap. But no. So it's been interesting. I know everyone's been, you know, I don't know if you've been enthralled, but you're aware.
Clamoring.
Yeah. Of you know. Every single day is just something new about this guy. And part of this experience, the Santos experience, reminded me.
Is it a fan experience?
Okay. You know?
Yeah.
$1,000 at the end of the show. Go backstage and get your Santos experience.
Hello.
It reminded me of what we were experiencing with Trump. When it was just like, there was so much.
Yeah.
That we kind of just like, we had to start ignoring it because every day something new was coming out. Every day he was doing something new.
And it was just like. Totally agree.
When isn't he breaking a law? When isn't he being sued? When isn't he being racist? It was just like. So in that sense, in many respects, you know, I started thinking about what we went through previously, and Santos reminds a lot of us of that. There is something to be said about what Trump did to us. and us being in this position now where it's like, okay, yeah, of course he's lying. I mean, you know, this is George. This is George Santos. When isn't he lying? For me, it hit me like in the middle, over the weekend. It just glazed over me because I forgot what the newest lie was.
If I could just really quickly offer that it's never just one thing with him.
Yeah.
The day gives us at least two solid.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
And it's the the quantity for me. I don't understand how he can have so many. How could there be?
Bruh.
Wasn't there a campaign? I'm just going to keep asking that. Bruh. Wasn't there a campaign? There wasn't anybody who could figure out this man had 17 different names?
Bruh.
And was also a fugitive?
Right. Y'all didn't write anything.
None of it?
The amount of things that he's lied about. The laundry list is so long. How could you lose to this guy? You know what I'm saying? Like you said, no one.
Yeah, it's got to be real rough for mans that lost. Because this is.
Mans them.
Yeah.
So one of the first things that popped into my head as part of this epiphany of why we should be grateful. Why you should count your lucky stars for George Santos.
Mm-hmm.
At the bare minimum, at the very foundation of this, what George Santos, what he teaches us is that, hey, anyone can do it.
You can do anything.
Don't let your past dictate your future. Even if you're dictating your past. That past can be anything.
Bars.
Okay. Hello. That past can be anything. And that past and that anything can be different things at the same time. Which you can go back and alter and, you know, do as you see fit. Both my knees blown out from being on a championship team for a college I never went to.
Mm, D1, baby.
And look where I am now. I'm on the hill. Seriously, if this doesn't invite or entice people that really, really and truly want to make a difference in their community, if this moron doesn't let you see, no, all these prerequisites in your, no, literally anyone, you, everyone on the listening to us right now, you know someone that lies as much as George Santos does.
Man.
You went to high school with somebody and you stopped letting them sit at your table. It's like every day. Dude, you're lying about Transformers. That did not happen yesterday on that episode. No, you cannot sit with us anymore. Every day it's just like, well, you don't know. No, that never happened. Never happened. So at the very least, bare minimum, he should be an encouragement. Don't sit on the sidelines when you got a Santos.
Oh, my gosh. Huh? This is not how I thought this was going to go this morning.
I'm gonna tell you, I found him encouraging.
We got a text.
Did we already?
Oh, shit. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
Okay. It says, honestly, a bit chilling to make this parallel since Trump's success was so fueled by all that free media coverage. It's so funny because we talked about.
Yeah.
How is Santos going to fade away after this, regardless of what happens? It is chilling because he's getting all of this free media coverage.
Yeah.
They are following him around.
Hawking him.
Just, I mean, here's the thing. He doesn't have anything to say today to a microphone because he has to figure out what he said into other microphones a couple of months ago. They're scrubbing the tapes. They got to figure it out.
That's, scrubbing the tapes.
Yeah. They're in the congressional office like, okay, you do February. You do March. You don't remember anything from September, right?
Right.
Like, that's what they're trying to do. So he just walks around acting real important with his head held high, not answering questions.
Mm-hmm.
He put out a POW flag yesterday. And here's the thing.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not a military person. A veteran?
Yeah.
I'm not a soldier. I've never been in any of those things. But I do watch a show called 60 Days In. And there was, I'm new to it, you know, and I'm going back. And in the season 3, if anybody's wondering, there's a couple of Marines in there. And they get just about as upset as someone falsely claiming allegiance as, say, maybe, you know, a gang member to... You don't put out a POW flag.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I'm understanding correctly, I believe that's prisoner of war. That's not.
That's exactly what that is.
It's not like.
Are you honoring them? What are you doing? What's this show?
Happy Friday, Flash.
No. No.
So he's going to continue to get free coverage because we have this fascination with being lied to. And this is not the, you know, there are journalists trying to hold him accountable for things that he has lied about. But the media as a whole,
yeah,
that is not the point.
Yeah, it's sensational.
They love to see 18 reporters walking behind that man trying to keep up with him to get to the elevator. And he's just like, lunchtime, bye. I mean, and there's a, it takes a lot of confidence just to like not respond.
Yeah.
And there's a certain level of something else. I'm just not what, I'm not sure what it, entitlement or I'm not sure what it is yet, mm-hmm. but like, I don't think I've ever felt like if that many people were talking to me and asking for an answer that you I could just not respond.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's I've never been in a position where it's just like, oh, nope.
Just, I'd rather not.
I'd rather not. That is definitely what I'm going to say if I'm ever in a position where it's supposed to be like,
we need you to answer for this.
We need you to answer for this. I'd rather not. Actually,
there's a reveal in the amount of hubris that he's practicing. That's right the now. Word. There's
hubris.
Yeah, there's a reveal in that. Hey, I'm not going to be made to feel any discomfort or pressure because I actually have no discomfort or pressure.
Boom.
There's nothing for me to fear.
That's why I can't wrap my head around it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to have a level of fear and discomfort. There's 18 people following you, screaming your name and asking you for answers.
Yeah.
I don't understand the disconnect of, well, I'm just going to ignore that. Yeah. I'm just going to not, I don't have to respond.
Yeah.
That right there.
It's pretty high skilled.
So when you can't wrap your head around it, you think that that person has the same, not necessarily, I don't know, I can't find my word right now, but not like values or anything, but like also feel mindset. Like they would also need to respond. And so because they're not, it's like, whose brain is broken? Mine or theirs?
He is running a strategy that is aligned with other members of his party, like
completely.
You know what I'm saying? So he's got that security that he's able to just move around with. And I think the flag is part of some other conversation they've had in the background. Hey, listen, you know, this is all going to blow over. We're happy you got this seat. Once this blows over, we're going to continue on as such. And let's talk about the reelection. I mean, it sounds crazy now, but hey, man, let's definitely talk about the reelection. The final point I'll make is that watching what's happening with George Santos is, some people would say this is a new low for the Republican Party. I would disagree with that. It's a new low for the Democratic Party. As far as the Republican Party is concerned, imagine it like they're beta testing. The new version of the PS5. They're beta testing the PS6 on this right now. Trump was their PS5.
Yikes.
You know what I'm saying? This is a beta test. Like, there are, I mean, so many lies. So many lies. And they're sitting there. The entire party is just sitting there like, we'll look the other way. We'll let this wash over and back to business. I do believe that what we're seeing from the Democratic Party at this point, again, is a new benchmark of how this is going to move forward. At some point, we are going to see another candidate like that. Oh, I'm sorry. Already happened. Eric Adams. So,
whoop.
The goalposts are shifting now. Things are going to get real wild. We're going to see some circus stuff moving forward from both sides because this is the new norm. We're watching the new norm is being beta tested. So these are the reasons why I'm like, no. We should be very thankful for George Santos. Not thankful and grateful and sitting on our hands in glee, but this should activate you. This should, as you would say, radicalize you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it definitely has radicalized me. I'm announcing my candidacy.
Oh, my. Good night. What?
No? Is it too soon?
Right, it's too soon.
Okay, I'm not announcing anything.
I should say that the POW MIA flag is civilians are free to fly that flag.
In support.
But indeed, prison board and the National League of Families and missing folk.
Yeah.
It was confusing for me because I don't know.
Don't worry.
I think he's probably telling us he's missing in action right now.
Whoa.
His constituents in New York think he is.
Remember when he was like, I'm not going anywhere until my constituents tell me so. And a bunch of them was like, would you get out of here? So and he was like, I don't have ears now.
Yeah. You get over here so we can tell you so. He was like, I ain't doing that. Yeah. It's interesting.
He could still be removed. They could, you know, like there's action. Mm-hmm. They're not going to because why would anybody do anything that makes sense?
Yeah.
You know?
He ain't doing it.
I don't want to be dismissive to this as in, you know, this won't be a big deal. It is not okay that we are so okay with politicians just completely lying.
Yeah.
The fact that he was able to completely make up an entire background from parents, grandparents, origin.
Bruh.
It really should make people pretty upset that he's just like scooping up tragedies like Infinity Stones.
And what does it mean that it doesn't make people upset?
What have we talked about a lot? Apathy is going to be the death of everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm not being apathetic about the fact that he does it. It is, but there's only so much you can keep up with.
Yeah.
And until there is going to be movement, we don't need to keep talking about him.
No.
Because we're doing the thing.
Is accountability on the table? If not, we're normalizing the behavior.
And talk to him, Ambush.
Yeah. Yeah. If there's no accountability, I don't want to hear about it. It's the same thing with the Jan 6 committee. Stop it. Stop. I don't want to hear another thing about Trump if you do not plan on banning him from running, locking him up, getting him out the game. Otherwise, all you're doing, honestly, is cementing, you're paving the new road for anyone to come behind with the exact same behavior because there are no consequences. So stop talking about it. Stop. I don't want to do it.
Also, don't just trade it in for the younger model, DeSantis.
Yeah.
Like if it.
Oh, jeez.
No?
Okay. No, you're right about that.
Well, before we tangent us, because I would take us straight into some DeSantis mess or Florida or something.
Yeah. Let's talk about our topics.
What are we going to talk about today?
Well, in local news, California developers bidding to operate encampments in Portland. Interesting. The catalytic converter kingpin, he wants his cash back.
Smart man.
You know? Hey.
Who doesn't?
It belongs to me.
Yeah, it was in my safe.
And have you guys heard about this $150 cup of coffee here in Portland?
In national news, school administrators were warned that the 6-year-old student who shot his teacher, allegedly shot his teacher, had a gun and did not take it seriously.
Come on, yeah.
Is it on the radar? Or?
Bruh.
The Supreme Court decides against veterans in their first decision of 2023. And Republicans in Iowa want to drastically change SNAP rules. And I wonder why.
Quite ridiculous. Quite. But you know, 'tis the news.
So shout out to Rudo, who is one of our new producers of the show.
Rudes.
He sent us the story about the $150 cup of coffee. Yes. And I'll tell you this about that.
As you sip your cheap coffee in comparison?
Well, you know, I was told if I don't spend money on coffee every day, I can buy a house. So here I am with my responsible travel mug, with my freshly ground beans.
Mm-hmm.
That I, you know, did all this myself.
There's another part to that.
Self-made coffee air.
Don't buy coffee. Don't buy Jordans.
Okay. Hey, and then you can be
a millionaire. Them's the rules. So if you're not a millionaire, we know why. We got another text from that same person just saying, happy to hear you.
Happy to be heard.
Happy to be heard.
So yeah, good morning, fiancés. Get morning. With it. Text us now.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Miss Cleo.
971-220-5979. Ready for the first music break?
I'm ready.
All right.
I'm going to jump right into the he was on our radar story because I'm tired.
Mm, okay.
And I just want to, you know, the correlations, the intersectionality, if you will.
I will. I indeed will.
So as we reached 40 mass shootings in this country in just 3 weeks, details are still being gathered about a teacher shot in her classroom by her student on January 6th. The shooting at Richneck Elementary was the first of 2023 at a U.S. school. A six-year-old boy was taken into custody January 6th after he brought his mother's legally purchased gun to school in his backpack and shot his first grader, Abby Zwerner. Zwerner, 25, was initially in critical condition and later stabilized after a bullet went through her hand and into her chest inside of her classroom.
Wow.
Police have said the shooting was intentional. As damning details begin to emerge, the school board voted last night to oust its superintendent weeks after the shooting. The Newport News Public Schools School Board voted 5-1 in favor of a separation agreement and severance with Superintendent Dr. George Parker III. The teacher's lawyer, Diane Toscano, alleged earlier Wednesday that school administrators had multiple warnings about the boy the day of the incident.
Mm.
Quote, over the course of a few hours, three times, school administration was warned by concerned teachers and employees that the boy had a gun on him at the school and was threatening people, but the administration could not be bothered. Abby and these other teachers at Richneck Elementary tried to do the right thing on January 6th, Toscano said, adding she intended to file a lawsuit on Zwerner's behalf. Toscano alleged the administration failed to act despite the fact that they had knowledge of imminent danger. A bit before 11:30 a.m. that day, Zwerner informed an administrator that the six-year-old had, quote, threatened to beat up another child. Administration did not remove the student from the class or call security. At 12:30, another teacher told the administrator she believed the student had a gun in his pocket and had taken it out to recess. The administrator allegedly downplayed the possibility, responding that the boy said, or boy had, quote, little pockets.
Mm.
Shortly after 1 p.m., a third teacher told administrators that another child, described by Toscano as crying and fearful, had informed the teacher the six-year-old had showed him the gun at recess and threatened to shoot him if he told anybody.
A fourth employee then asked the administration for permission to search the boy, but was denied, Toscano claimed. Zwerner was shot almost an hour later. Nearly 2 weeks after the shooting, the boy's family released their first statement expressing praise for the teacher while also saying, quote, our son suffers from an acute disability and was under a care plan at the school that included his mother or father attending school with him and accompanying him to class every day. Continuing, we will regret our absence on this day for the rest of our lives, the family statement said. The family also said the gun allegedly used was secured and stored at the top of his mother's closet before the shooting. They said a family member usually went to class with him, but not the week of the shooting. They did not mention how he was able to get the gun. The school's assistant principal, Dr. Ebony Parker, resigned Wednesday. There have been other cases in which the shooting suspect was as young as six. In 2000, 2011, and 2021, according to the K-12 school shooting database, which has tracked shootings in American schools since 1970. Wow. I mean, you have a child crying, coming to you saying, hey, this other student has a gun. And that's not...
They showed it to me and said they would kill me if I told anyone.
And here I am risking my life telling you.
Yeah. Because I'm big scared. And that teacher goes and tells, and they're like, hey, man, pockets is little. He probably can't get it. He can't even get that gun out.
That's your response, though. It's a kid. Pockets too little. No gun.
It just, you know, this is a baby. This is a baby.
Six, man.
6 years old. This is a baby.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different things here for me, because it's not just what's happening, you know, what's happening that would make a 6 year old want to do something like that. Mm-hmm. It's not just how did they get access. I do find interesting that, you know, emphasis played on or paid to what normally is supposed to happen or what has happened before, as in the gun is always locked and stored away, mm-hmm. and in a closet, you know, at the top of a closet. Mm-hmm. But okay, cool. How do you get it? How do you get right. it? How do you get it in the backpack? What's the correlation between getting the gun and not having the, familial escort to school?
Yeah. Why does a 6 year old know there's a gun in the house?
And exactly where it is.
Yeah.
And I don't need to, you know, delve into what kind of disability this baby has. Mm-hmm. It's what happened where for a week.
Yeah.
That this, y'all weren't there doing the thing that you're supposed to do.
You know what came to mind when I read that was what happened. Like you said, what stresses did someone have to pick up an extra shift?
Right.
What happened where you couldn't be there?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And not blaming them, but like, I wonder what happened.
I mean, I think, you know, making it clear this is going to be something we regret for the rest of our lives is, I bet. And I don't say that dismissively. That's a tragedy all the way around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I don't know what it means to, commit an act of violence at an age before you can really read and
can't even spell. Are you spelling violence?
Probably not spelling violence.
Yeah.
Or if you are, it's like violent or violin or something. You know, but anyway.
Yeah. Crystal, did you see what she said?
No, go ahead.
She was like, y'all. That's a 6 year old. Like this
exactly.
is where we
are. Exactly. Good morning,
you
Crystal.
Said it. I'm glad you said this is a baby.
This is a baby.
You're six. Come here. Let's hug it out. What's happening? Let me talk to you.
Yeah, we're supposed to be able to squat down to your level, look you in the eye, hug about it. Let's hear what's going on. This is
the kind of thing and kind of story that if this person was older, maybe you would have different feelings.
Sure.
But the system surrounding it, to me, is the same.
Yeah.
As if this were, you know, the manifesto leaving
right
shooter that the FBI says he was on our radar. We definitely knew who that person was.
We were tracking him. He was on our list.
We were tracking him, but I guess, you know, his FBI agent was asleep that day when he decided to live stream.
Much like Rudo.
Oh, whoa.
He said, I'm here. Sorry, my dog missed the bus this morning.
Rudo.
The rudest.
Rudo.
Baby is what you said that just keeps banging around in my head. This was a baby, y'all. This is wow. All of the adults, you know, we're all responsible for creating safe environments for our kids. And the school administrator, however many of them
mm-hmm.
whose attention this was brought to, you dropped the ball. And as a result of that, one of your staff almost wasn't here anymore.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you dropped the ball.
And not to mention the trauma of every other kid that was in that room and saw their teacher shot.
Right. That is now their, that's their
first grade,
that's their backstory. That's their origin story. Yeah. So whatever, moving forward. that they all experienced that trauma in a group setting, in a public place. Oh, man,
so we can get a hero origin or a villain origin.
You could definitely get a villain origin out of that.
Boy.
Yeah. I'm voting for a team of heroes. Young Avengers, if you will.
I'm voting for a team of heroes. Whoa, boy. Yeah. There has to be we have to be looking at these things differently instead of like we talked about, I think last week. Mm-hmm. We get caught on the wrong things in the conversation and we move right past the stuff that are like actually that actually matters.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a gun debate. And this is going to be a, you know,
mental health,
a pretend mental health debate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And someone's going to say, you got to ban video games because, you know, a 6-year-old did this. And that's another funny thing. I think a lot of people have a misunderstanding of what kids do.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Like, is your 6-year-old playing Call of Duty?
Do you know?
You tell me.
Do you know? And if you don't know, why don't you? Why don't you know?
Anyway, I too would have stepped down if I was the vice principal.
Yeah.
And, you know, glad to see that action is being taken and that the parents are like, well, what we're not going to do is, you know, y'all just keep on going.
Right.
But I want to know what changes for real with the interim superintendent, what goes forward, what policy. I mean, what do we have all of these drills and live shooter trainings and. The administration is supposed to be the one that you can count on to say something, to do something, to they are the point, right? Don't Uvalde it. You can't just be like, oh, I mean, I was on the scene.
Yeah.
But, you know, I thought someone else was supposed to make the call.
This is the equivalent of ignoring the smoke alarm. Bruh. Just teaching, continuing to teach. You know.
Yeah. Well, it might have just been a drill.
So much, yeah. We'll just continue on. I'll just speak up so you guys can hear me over the alarm. Just call him that day.
Yeah,
it's a rough one.
Rough stuff.
Do you want to go veterans or SNAP next?
Boy, I wish that we had you know, like a voting mechanism. But it would have to be much quicker. I say, let's do SNAP real fast.
Let's do some SNAPs.
Yeah.
Okay. Iowa Republicans wage war on poor folks. It's their fave. Republicans en masse.
Mm.
Iowa House Republicans are proposing restrictions on the state's SNAP benefits that could dramatically limit what food recipients can get at the store. The Iowa measure comes as the food stamp rolls around the U.S. Have swelled during the pandemic, with 42 million receiving food stamps as of October, an increase of about 14% from prior to the health crisis, according to most recent data available. The new bill introduces cumbersome rules that dictate what families can or can't buy at the grocery stores, said Luke Elzinga, spokesperson for DMARC, a local food nonprofit.
The restrictions include no white grains. Mm. People can only purchase 100% whole wheat bread, brown rice, and 100% whole wheat pasta. Jeez. No baked, refried, or chili beans. People can purchase black, red, and pinto. No fresh meats. People can purchase only canned products like canned tuna or canned salmon. SNAP recipients could no longer purchase meat other than the certain varieties of canned tuna and salmon, which we know that we know that that doesn't work.
Yeah.
The group said that people on food stamps spend about $1 of every $5 on meat, poultry, and seafood, making it the top category purchased by SNAP recipients.
Beyond the food restrictions, the bill would also set an asset limit to get food stamps in Iowa at $2,750, meaning that people whose net worth exceeds that threshold wouldn't qualify for SNAP benefits. Nearly 40 House Republicans have co-sponsored the bill. What's next? A House subcommittee will consider the bill. According to the Iowa Gazette, last year, Iowa had a state budget surplus of $2 billion, and the state cut its corporate tax rate from 9.8% to 8.4%.
All right, you guys, this is it. This should radicalize you. These are the moments. Am I screaming?
No, you're not.
I want to.
Wow.
Ambush, what do you hear here? This is the, you know, what is it that when you hear that they want to, A, limit the food that you can purchase, which is already limited. You know, it's not as if you can't buy hot food, which is a tool of war on poor people.
Right.
You can't purchase prepared, you know, hot food. So that means if you have a SNAP card and that is how you eat, and say you don't have access to something that can warm up that food, you are already in a place where you can only eat cold, prepackaged, filled with the preservative things.
Hope you have a microwave.
Or they're going to tell you, just buy some apples or something. Yeah. You know, like, well, just eat fresh fruit because that is what you always eat. That's what you eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And then we're going to change the amount of money. And I just want to go back to that really quick because the bill would also set an asset limit to get food stamps in Iowa to $2,750. They have the unmitigated gall.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That's gross, friends. That's not net, right?
Right. Right.
If I make more than that, I am... I need you to understand, if you have a child, if you are, you know, have more than one child, and that's the kind of money you have, you're not eating.
Yeah, period.
Also, this is very much like they're trying to make it WIC. So WIC, which is, you know, women and infant care, or I don't remember what the C is for. That has very hard limitations, too. It's like very much only things that are on this list that are for the pregnant mother are for the child, right? You can't buy deli meat with WIC. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you're going to make, I mean, but people that are on WIC also almost always automatically qualify for SNAP as the supplemental nutrition.
Keyword, supplemental.
We do not expect, we don't expect to police anybody else's food. We do not expect to police rich people on what they eat, how they eat, what's going on over there in a billionaire class, a millionaire class, the 100,000-aire class.
Mm-hmm.
No one is saying, how come you guys eat so much X, Y, or Z? And here we are waging a war on poor people, putting so many different things in the food that you're going to get sick no matter what.
Right.
These folks do not have access to healthcare in the same way.
Nope.
And then once they are treated or seen, they may not be treated, you know? And now we're saying, let's make it even harder for you. Why would we be relegating people to tuna?
Yo, I, you know me. I'm the meat guy. I want to be able to cook my oxtails, the jerk chicken, my lamb.
And put them all on the same bed of coconut rice.
You're definitely right. Venison, let's do it.
Oh.
You know, bison burgers. Have you had? Do I have you? The idea of relegating people to canned tuna and canned salmon, and that's it. How many casseroles are we making? Like, what is, like, there was a point that you and I were discussing yesterday in the consistency in the Republican Party, how don't listen to the words. There's consistency in the action. No matter what they say, there's consistency in that action.
Boy,
you don't care about people. I don't care what you say. The action shows us you don't care. You don't.
How do you have a surplus of $2 billion and you out here like, let's cut some corners? And what's first? The pores. They are trying to kill people. I mean, there's really no... Oh, we got a text. Oh, look at that. The text says the SNAP benefit changes are not suitable. They are trying to kill poor people. Flat out.
Boom.
Flat out.
Boom.
Also, what about the people who cannot eat wheat? I mean...
Yeah.
Isn't the big, you know, 2020s joke that everybody has celiac and so everyone's gluten intolerant and now that's all people can eat?
Right.
100% whole wheat. I mean, I hate to tell you.
Where's the science? Where's the nutrition?
Well, LOL, input? It's not as if they're going to listen to that.
Where's that?
That's not going to be what they're looking for. It's just you cannot talk to me about being the Freedom Party and then control every single moment of my life or want to control every single moment of my life from the beginning, literally from the beginning to the very end. And you do not in any way help throughout it. So you're super, and I'm super tired of the term pro-life because that is a marketing term. That is not your stand.
Yeah. I'm a quote my homie Lean, DJ Bobby Flowers, that's nasty work.
That is nasty work. That is nasty work. That's
nasty work, sir.
For real.
You fooled me.
So you control every single thing that you possibly can. And now you want to control food. The actual things I can purchase. Imagine the amount of money that we spend on keeping people sick, poor, unable to do the things that you say you want them to do.
Right.
But then call us all lazy and say that we just want to sit at home. There's a labor shortage, but also too, there's not, but also, you know, like all these companies laying people off, but there's a labor shortage. People don't want to work, but they keep getting fired. Like you cannot have it all the same ways. Iowa. I mean, all the ways.
Iowa, are there any other issues you could be tackling right now? I am curious. like the $2 billion surplus. I feel like you can get on top of a lot of things right now. But this is a key example, right, of something that is happening that can set a precedence from state to state.
Yep.
This is something that we need to be paying attention to. Again, this should have people in the streets.
Yes.
This literally should have people in the streets.
Folks in Iowa should be like, recall every single one of those people signing on to this bill.
Yeah.
They're out here. They're here to get us. They're not here to help us. They're out here to get us.
Yeah.
This is absolutely should radicalize you. And don't think for any, you know, second that folks are safe in these blue states or, cities or anything like that. This is not something that let me say it a different way. We have current elected officials that would, I could see, at least floating this idea.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the way that things are going right now and the dehumanizing, divisive rhetoric that's out there, there's going to be a lot of folks that used to be like, I just wish the people had a place to live, who are now like, throw them in a warehouse, get them out of my face. They may have no problem with the limitations of you can only eat tuna now. And tell me more about I can't buy refried beans. I would like to know what in the world, what part of a, you know, big grocery is this? What do you mean?
Hey, it's them now. Next, they'll be coming for you. This, change in what is allowable for SNAP benefits when the group, the sect of society that falls below the poverty line continues to expand and more people are dependent on SNAP. This will apply to you. You probably can't see it now.
you're like, ah, you know, but that's, I don't have to worry about that. I can buy whatever I want. What happens when you can't? What happens when this future that they're engineering puts you in a place where you have less options? Then you'll be like, this is egregious. You don't have to wait.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
You don't have to wait.
We got to get to the point where you don't have to envision this harming you for you to care about other people being harmed.
Exactly.
Ooh, got a text.
What we got?
Michelle Obama had a whole healthy fit initiative that she pushed as first lady, and they went crazy over it. Hypocrisy. Mm. Exactly. Yeah. Mm. Exactly. Mm. They literally were like, the first lady is trying to steal our cheeseburgers.
Yeah, they did.
She's trying to force a fit agenda. Hear it.
A fit agenda.
Can y'all, I mean, I know it's been a while since the tan suits and the sleeveless dresses, but they really went in on the fact that she wanted folks to just move. What a great initiative when what we hear is America is the most obese country, right?
Yeah.
Showing children how to do things a different way than they may. Listen, not every parent knows how to be healthy.
Right. Nah, real talk. Real talk.
Not every parent knows how to cook healthy food.
In order to be that type of parent, you're literally fighting against the propaganda that is popular.
Exactly.
That is just society. It's teaching us to be everything but that. We did get another text from the same person that said the change in the SNAP benefits.
Look at me not getting them all.
You know, trying to kill poor people. You said SNAP, not snacks. I swear I was ready for you to talk about Sir Mix-a-Lot repping bagel chips. I was
Lord,
unaware.
Is he making money doing that now?
Oh, goodness gracious.
You know what?
I'm not going to play any Sir Mix-a-Lot in the music break. I'm just going to mention that right now. Anyone?
I mean, I appreciate you. Shout out to a fellow Pacific Northwestern, Bud. That's, you
Where's
know,
he from?
Seattle.
Oh.
My posse's on Broadway.
Okay.
Oh. Right, so okay.
Now, we're going to catch up on the other side of the music break. Shout out to the homie C's if you tuned in on the East Coast.
Yeah. I want to jump really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Into just to make sure that we can get to the story.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to jump right into the company, the California company that is likely going to operate some homeless encampments. Camps. And I want to, let me see, shall I preface?
I think you should.
I do want to preface. So, shout out to Alex. We miss you, number one. Alex Zielinski, former news editor for the Portland Mercury.
Mm-hmm.
Wrote about this California company in December. Mm-hmm. And it was way back then that it was like, wait. No, this isn't good.
December 2022?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was saying way, because you know, a month feels like 7 years sometimes.
Facts.
But yeah, this isn't the, you know, like brand new information, but it is important information just as, you know, you see more about Urban Alchemy and you hear more about the people that work there and you're seeing interviews and things like that. It's really important to understand the background and the frame. And so, again, just like we were talking about with, you know, the GOP, all of their propaganda is a thing, but watch those actions.
Yep.
The actions are are what matter the most and what we need to be not just paying the most attention to, but holding accountable. Those are the things that you've got to be responsible for that too. And you certainly can't, it's not just about hypocrisy because it at some point is harmful. And it's not just like, oh, you're holding two opinions. Like
right.
You're actually harming people. And when that's your policy, that's not great. So the city of Portland is moving forward with a controversial plan to create several massive outdoor homeless encampments throughout the city. This is after Mayor Ted Wheeler made camping outside illegal.
Right.
The idea is partly based on outdoor shelters run by Urban Alchemy, a group based in California that began in 2018 as a program offering mobile hygiene services and job assistance to unhoused people in San Francisco. The organization, which focuses on offering jobs to people exiting the criminal justice system, took off in early 2020 when Urban Alchemy was selected to run San Francisco's first outdoor homeless encampment in response to the COVID-19 pandemic, and has since been granted several no-bid contracts worth tens of millions of dollars to oversee camps in San Francisco. And that was before expanding to LA in December of 2022. In 2021, San Francisco expanded the scope and hired Urban Alchemy to take on patrolling areas of the city with high concentrations of homeless camps and offering resources to those living outside. In July 2022, Austin City Council selected Urban Alchemy to run an emergency overnight shelter in a rushed vote where Urban Alchemy was the only contractor considered. Although they had been meeting since April, Mayor Wheeler and Commissioner Ryan first mentioned Urban Alchemy in late October when he said, quote, "We are in communication with national service providers that are used to operating at this scale. Our local service providers are outstanding, but they haven't done programs like this at this scale." He continued, wow. "Urban Alchemy has done programs similar to this in other states, and they are very interested in having conversations about where our interests might align."
I bet.
Urban Alchemy's approach is notably different from nonprofits operating in Portland. The organization's patrol teams routinely partner with local law enforcement to help enforce homeless campsite sweeps and often work as security guards at the encampments, despite not obtaining a state private security license to do so.
Wow.
The company has also been accused of falling short on a promise to offer living wages to its staff, most who've experienced homelessness or incarceration, and creating an unsafe work environment. The nonprofit's budget has grown 500% in under 2 years,
whoa,
and it has no intention of slowing down. According to an Urban Alchemy pamphlet shared with Wheeler's office, the organization hopes to add 3 new urban areas to its portfolio by June 2025.
This is absolutely unbelievable in so many different ways. I remember like the quick analysis that popped in my head last night. We were talking about this issue. So you have California developers coming up here being a huge contributor to the housing crisis.
In you said developers.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then a California based company is here to solve a problem
that they helped create. Indeed.
This does not look good on you, California.
Nah, it doesn't look good on us. It doesn't look good on America. It doesn't look good on any single local government that is choosing to spend their money with private companies instead of making their government and city work for them. Like, we don't have to outsource everything. I fully believe that government, the bureaucracy and the, you know, bureaucratic maze that it is to get anything done is purposeful.
Yeah.
That is a choice. In like so many other industries, you would not in any way get to be this inefficient.
No.
You would not get to do that. So the fact that it's like, oh, we've got great folks, but we've never done anything to this scale. You are still not addressing why we need to scale up.
Yeah. How did we get to this
scale? Because poverty is a policy choice. That's how. Because if this is happening in San Francisco, this is happening here, this is happening in Austin, this is happening in LA, this is happening in Seattle. This is a nationwide issue. And this is just a company that's like, let me run the numbers up. And this is exploited. I'm sorry.
No, really quick.
I just have to say that this is all the way around. I will definitely delve far more into urban alchemy, but let's pay attention to the fact that they hire formerly incarcerated folks, which this is the kind of thing that, you know, you get grant money for.
Right.
You get big grant dollars for, you know,
engaging
that community, supposedly getting these people, you know, a livable wage.
Yeah.
But we also know that when you are able and are purposely only focusing on hiring formerly incarcerated and formerly houseless people, you are looking to not pay a livable wage. You are looking for people that are desperate, who are going to work in that environment that is not safe, that is not okay, and not say anything about it. Why? Because they've experienced worse.
Right.
Like, I'll never forget a old colleague. We had a really, 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 I'm sorry, I don't have my words. I don't want to say bad, and I just said really like seven times. We had a harmful director or executive team member. That's what we'll say. A harmful executive team member. And my old colleague was like, I mean, yeah, she's bad, but like, she's not as bad as my last boss, you know? And so like, since that old boss like hemmed me up on a closet, this is like not that bad.
Yeah.
She was screaming at me all day.
Yeah.
It's that. It's, I'm no longer in prison. I got to do all of these things to make sure that I don't go back to prison on a technicality, including have a job.
Right. Right.
So I can't lose this. So then you're using the people. You're exploiting the people that have likely experienced houselessness and have been incarcerated and putting them out in what you call the front line to then interface with houseless people and don't pay them.
They mentioned, Wheeler mentioned, you know, the local organizations haven't dealt with anything at this scale. Kind of like, you know, it's past their capacity. Firstly, how do we think it got past their capacity? Did it have something to do with you not working in concert with them to prevent this from getting here?
Mm.
Poverty is a policy choice. We just can keep saying it over and over.
I
mean, this entity went from providing housing and encampments to adding a security detail to their a la carte services that cities can now pick from. We can handle that too, you know. This is scary.
It's dystopian.
Yeah, it's very scary. And it really does show. It really does show the lack of genuine intent on solving the problem.
Yes.
Because here it is. You have community-based organizations here in our fair city that have been working around the clock to come up with some viable solutions and that are in constant dialogue with our houseless citizens, right? And we're now, instead of giving them all of the resources that they need and creating a surplus in their budgets, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, bless up on them. We're going to take this money and give it to and outsource this issue to an organization that is going to handle it the same way it's handled in every city that they have a contract with.
And might I add that those cities are in peril.
Right.
None of the cities that they are in charge of are doing well.
The company is promoting growth when in actuality, if they were good at their job, they'd be putting themselves out of business.
Exactly. This is nasty work. This is outdoor private prison.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is, I mean, it doesn't get better than saying it's nasty work. It literally is the grossest. The ability to just be like, one, everybody is promoting in their own cities as if this problem is unique to their city.
Yeah.
When we know this is a national issue. Being able to separate, you know, individualize that means that we're never going to actually talk about the thing that needs to be talked about.
Right. Right.
We're not looking for solutions. The solutions are there. We just don't want to do them. We're deciding not to make permanent housing. We are deciding not to make sure that people have homes. We are deciding to spend money to keep people outside. In what regard does it make sense to any single person that you can make camping illegal outside, all so that you can make an outside campsite? Right. That is literally just to make money.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not just only.
Yeah.
I mean, it certainly.
It serves many purposes.
Serves many purposes.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Certainly. Get those people out of my face.
Because here's another thing I want you guys to think about. Say this were to happen, right?
Oh, what's happening?
Yeah. Fast forward 2 years where it's like, oh man, we really have this house situation handle. I don't see any tents or where is the houseless population? Out of sight, out of mind. They are behind the walls of camps. They're behind fences of encampments that are policed. And now you don't know what is happening. You have no idea. It's no different, like you said. It's no different than the carceral system. You have no idea what's happening behind those walls.
And you don't care.
And you don't care.
Sorry.
No. That's how it works. Hive mind.
Yeah.
And you don't care. Is that what you want? I hear Portland's too progressive for this, guys. You're too progressive for this. Foolishness.
I mean, for me, Ambush, the fact that they're out here talking about cities as markets, you know, as we want to get more of the market share. We want more of those, you know, we want to be the ones who take care of all of your houseless needs.
Right.
That's a choice. We are deciding to spend money with a company who has absolutely zero intention of getting folks off the street.
Right.
Their mission is not to provide permanent housing. They are calling themselves a Band-Aid.
Right.
And when you move so ever loving slow and so incrementally on purpose, government, and say things like, well, we need to do something in the interim because we can't just give people housing tomorrow. So we need to do something now. What ends up happening with that whole scenario, and you can, you know, step back and see if that happens, if this happens in your life. What ends up happening is the initial goal of permanent housing goes away. It goes away.
Yep.
And now we're on this temporary move because now somebody has been appeased enough to not talk about it, right? There's, like you said, not as many tents in people's faces. The people from the suburbs aren't calling people in Multnomah County, the one they don't live in.
Roaches.
Roaches. So we don't have the visual presence anymore. You do not have the same imperative.
Yep.
To make sure that people are taken care of. And now all of a sudden this thing's working, right? And we don't see these folks and this company's doing great and there's no harm. They are currently being sued for multiple things.
Yeah.
These aren't secrets.
Right.
For exploiting their workers. And also to talk about monopolizing the entire situation, like you said, expanding their scope to not only are we the ones who manage our, you know, we put up and we manage our own encampments, we patrol our own encampments, we will also patrol the things we are not in charge of.
Right. You're out there with law enforcement doing what?
We'll go out there.
Do sweeps?
We'll do sweeps. We'll sweep them right into our encampment for sure. No probs. This is a humongous problem. And there is something to be said about the pattern of how we got here, how we pretended we don't know, mm-hmm. how we're pretending it's unique, but seeing nonprofit companies, what did it say? Their budget expanded like 500 times or something.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
we're seeing these. This is exploitation.
500% under 2 years.
This is exploitation of poor people. This is another tool in the war on poor people belt. People will continue to die. Mm-hmm. And another reminder, like, again, we should not have to, like, internalize and put ourselves in the shoes of every single scenario that we've heard for us to care that humans should be treated better,
right.
Should have better, that we should take care of each other. This is war.
Yeah. Someone said this is exactly why capitalism is evil.
It's definitely one reason.
Yeah. Good morning, late text, but I'm tuned in. And this rant is exactly why I love my fiancés. Rudo also said he's still Rudo from the Jockey Club.
It's Rudo. That's the thing. Capitalism is evil, and yeah. People are tired of hearing the words capitalism and white supremacy and patriarchy, and they don't want to think about the systems. We have spent our entire lives being told everything that happens in our lives is an individual thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is your either moral failure or success. The grind culture that we have been, you know, indoctrinated mm-hmm. with. Mm-hmm. Either you're good at it or you're not, you lazy so-and-so.
So-and-so. Such and such.
Yeah, such and such. It's... It makes more sense to me to want to know what the roots of things are so that we can actually make a difference than it is to pretend and placate. I do not want anyone... to get to be a billionaire when people can't eat.
Yeah. Yeah. And do understand, we're not, you know, discussing these topics and railing against the system because we expect that our civic leaders will make these changes on their own, because these are decisions that they're making right here in public and open in our faces. And the only way we're going to see the future that we want and live in the city that we want is we have to actually hold them accountable. We've got to get in their faces. We've got to address these concerns. Like, I'm sure everyone listening right now was like, yo, this is bad. This could get a lot worse. Well, what are we going to do about it? We can keep getting together every single week and, you know, talk about the state. What I don't want to happen is what I don't want us to contribute to the other side of the trend of talking bad about the city. There is a trend going on right now, and we've been talking about it for a while, whether it's on YouTube or Instagram or whatever. Portland is going down. Portland is over.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's really about those content creators just looking for likes, sensationalizing things, you know, wanting to grow their audience and get their Patreons popping.
Yep.
On the other side of that is where we exist, and we are stamping down on certain issues, certain concerns every single week, but it's not to get you riled up for the rest of your Thursday. It's actually to get you in conversation with other people and to start strategizing and say, hey, I mean, I know we're not bringing things that you have no knowledge of, but what we're hoping is that we're
informing you to make some better decisions and to feel empowered to have conversations with people that we should be holding accountable. Like, you should be able to go to them and say, hey, what's up with this new contract? Who are these people? And yeah, I'm working with a couple organizations here on the ground that know they just need a little bit more money.
Well, that was another thing. Shout out to Alex one more time. In her article, made clear they did not engage local organizations.
Yeah.
Being a person who has been looked over in that same exact way, but then also said or had to hear, our local organizations are amazing. They just don't know how to do it to this scale.
Disgusting.
Okay. Rudo said, you guys are bumming me out. I'm trying to enjoy my $150 cup of Black Jaguar Geisha coffee.
Rudo, why is the coffee called that?
Well, you just took away all of the greatness of the story, which is the name.
Why is the coffee called Black Jaguar Geisha? Like, just...
I can tell you this. The article I read does not answer that question. Also, is this Malcolm? I think this might be Malcolm.
I think it's Malcolm.
So sick of the blame on the individual when we subsidize the corporations and they take no blame or responsibility. As Ambush said earlier, where's the accountability? Exactly. I'll wrap this up, Rudo.
Mm-hmm.
This is the point. Ambush is saying we want you guys to get engaged. We do. And we want you to talk to each other and we want you to talk to your friends. And all of those things, not just on Thursdays, on every day. And when you see these things, we want you to go, wait a minute, does this actually make sense? That said, we need to be able to speak to the propaganda that comes from the people that, like you were talking about, the reactionary, you know, Portland's been on fire ever since there was the first Black Lives Matter protest.
Mm-hmm.
You need to stay grounded. You know that your city's not on fire. Look outside. When somebody tells you that, look outside. Remind yourself.
Right.
They're doing something here. And what it is not fixing, not helping. They are adding fuel to the fire. They are absolutely starting in the middle to get to an end that absolves all systems and enriches a small amount of people in order to, I don't know if it's in order to, but they certainly don't care how many poor people die in the wayside.
That's certainly do not care.
And so it's very fitting for Portland, the city that is on fire, the city that you can't go downtown or, you know, you will be assaulted, accosted, burgled, robbed, whatever it is. You can't go downtown. You can't go to Northeast. Everything's so scary.
Mm-hmm.
But you got a coffee shop on Alberta that's about to sell a $150 cup of coffee because awards?
Morgan, whatever do you mean? No, you certainly cannot mean that the coffee for me to drink, for my body to consume, is $150 for this cup.
Let me be even more clear with you, Ambush. 8 ounces of coffee will cost you $150.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost $20 an ounce.
Limited a dish.
I'm trying to stop myself from screaming right now because if this ain't the most Portlandia dumb, like, here we go being backwards thing.
You couldn't write this.
One, we got to do better about what we consider being newsworthy. And I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about why is this being talked about in the first place?
Because Rudo.
No point. Oh, okay. It's not that we're... Ambush.
Okay. Sorry.
an Australian-based coffee company that has a coffee shop here, coffee shop in Austin, will be selling 22 cups of this $150 coffee.
22 cups. Limited ish.
A Black Jaguar Geisha coffee from Hartman Estate in Panama. Proud Mary, the coffee shop, paid $2,000 for 1 pound of beans. I'm going to remind you that we started talking about how people are poor. The money's gone for the people. And you over here buying $2,000 pounds of coffee? Which is enough for 11 cups. I just got to say that real quick.
Yeah.
And why is this a thing? It won awards. Cool.
This particular bean, the harvest or whatever. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to be so dismissive. I just really am upset about this. Like, this.
Are you upset because it's too Portland? This is like,
I'm upset that in this moment of time where people are dying right now as we speak because they have zero resources. In a time where we are still in a pandemic that just keeps spiking. And we just keep pretending that it's not real and people are still dying. People are still getting sick. I don't know if anybody listening has little kids, but my homies with the little kids, they're just, school's a revolving door.
Yeah.
Their kids are just sick. They go back to school, they're sick. They go back to school, they're sick. Also that their parents can serve capitalism. Also, we can continue to pay for the companies that are now price gouging us. That we can subsidize their losses, but we can't make sure that we don't lose. It's okay that we are living in cars while we're working and going to school. But also, we should talk about this $2,000 a pound coffee bean.
Right.
In the city that's on fire.
Right.
That's filled with so many people that don't have homes.
I'm not playing devil's advocate. I'm going to ask a question, though.
Real quick. That's John, not Malcolm.
Okay.
Hi, John.
What up, John? In my brain, there's a comparison that's like, how different is this from wine? Right? But then also, it's like, my brain is both saying, this is different, but this is similar in so many ways. Like, there's expensive bottles of wine. There's not expensive bottles of wine. How is this any different? But coffee is like, I hope I don't make this sound bad. It's like it's that fuel, right? It's supposed to be the every person's fuel to just get back to the grind. I heard it when I said it. Yeah. You're taking something that should never be that expensive under any circumstance. And you know what? Again, maybe this is something that's just new to us. And these expensive cups of coffee is just some hoity-toity thing we didn't know about. I don't want it regardless.
Here's the thing.
It's a bad idea.
I love your comparison, and I agree. It is not news when... You know, when Jake's sells a glass of wine at a certain amount of money, it's not news. This honestly shouldn't be news, is my point. And it shouldn't be something that we're touting as cool.
Right.
In a moment where people are dying.
Okay.
There are a couple of things that just to respond to. Someone said it's classism. The coffee is a way of showing the haves versus the haves nots. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's very much the city is on fire. Where is the best donut? Someone said a pound makes a lot more than 11 cups. Indeed. And I didn't read that correctly. So it says they paid $2,000 for 1 pound of beans. Each U.S. store will get enough for 11 cups. plus enough for one more person. I don't even know what that means. So they bought 2 pounds and it's going to 3 stores.
Right.
Somehow that works out in their minds for 11 cups plus another person. Totally aware that
yeah,
a pound makes more than 11 cups.
Yeah.
But not mad at you pointing that out, because it is. It's a lot more. Lastly, Rudo. An issue of Stapled Spine horror fanzine will now be $3,400 due to the lack of workforce. So I guess we're going to crowdfund that.
Yeah.
Just like we're going to crowdfund this coffee.
Rudo.
It just highlights just how ridiculous
we are
really not paying attention, or not paying attention. We're not taking care of the things that we need to take care of in order to just move forward. We'll just move forward. We'll just buy our spendy coffee and, you know, get to be elite. And I am one of the 11 cups that got to.
Yeah.
And boy,
I didn't even have to stand in line. I knew someone at the
spot.
I went
and got 3 more followers on Instagram for that.
Did you want this level of ridiculous? If so, you've won. Congratulations, Portland.
You played yourself.
This is News About Fiance, brought to you by Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush.
And Rudo today.
Hello.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Hey, and our podcast editor, Kyle G. Remember, you've heard it a couple times just today. Poverty is a policy choice. People over profits. Power to the people. None of us are free until we are all free. Thanks for listening and
take care
stay
of each
tuned.
Other.
Yes, please take care of each other.
Bye.